the mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so you can go to literally anything else.
Anything else with your time. And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got to Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, our spinoff series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. Look, we talked about Ciara from Love Island.
This week's episode.
About how she got kicked off for, well, the two Latinas.
Both got kicked off for saying racial slurs.
But we also recorded, I want to say, nearly 2 hour long.
Yes.
It's over an hour and a half long deep dive into Coney 2012.
Yes, we walked down memory lane.
We talked about it. We talked about the Fallout Boy music video that was filmed in Uganda.
Yep.
Thanks to the effects of Coney 2012.
Bet y'all didn't know it went there.
Bet you didn't remember that Fallout Boy got involved. Yeah. Elise, I was shook after. I don't know if you remember. I was out and I was just like in a weird place because I was like, I just talked about Coney 2012 for 2 hours.
Yeah. So that's coming up
that's
on the
coming
Patreon.
Coming up on the Patreon.
Already on the Patreon is our breakdown of Ciara and Love Island, continuation of the Love Island fan online discourse.
Yes.
That's all there. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We need more of them. And you guys know the best review that you could give us is to tell your friends about the show, post a little story, tag us in it. We'll repost it. You know we're online.
We're online. And you simply must online subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a Go Touch Grass YouTube. I'm there editing videos. I'm doing chaotic things in the videos. They're great. We appreciate the love that we got. I know we talked about YouTube comments and we got some nice, a pro-gay YouTube comment, which is good. Thank you.
Because sometimes we will just get the comment, no gay.
So to get a good gay.
To get pro-gay.
Pro-gay.
We're loving that.
We're loving that.
And you know what else we're loving? The person who's in the studio with us today. We are so excited to have an amazing guest here. He is a writer, producer, and filmmaker whose current project, The Decalogue, is fundraising right now, and I'm involved.
You're involved.
So we're going to talk about it. Please welcome into your ears, Christian Banda.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Not only are you involved, Elise, you're the shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, your episode's getting a lot of love.
So yeah, that's, I guess, a good place for us to start is just like, why don't you give people the rundown on this project? What inspired it? How you're planning to make it? All that good stuff.
Should I start from the beginning, like where I was working at, and then
Go ahead, give us the pitch.
I'll give you the pitch. I was a segment producer at The Daily Show with Trevor Noah for 4 years. I really was not happy with myself and like the situation there for the last year or so, to the point where I had a mental breakdown. I had to take an 8-week leave of absence.
Yeah,
came back, did my best work, hated myself, and then Trevor quit. Yeah, Trevor quit on air. No one knew.
That's key to me.
No one knew. And a couple weeks after that, I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. It seemed like a gracious end to like a very kind of traumatizing, but I learned a lot over there at that experience. Anyway, 2 months later, the strikes happened. And all of a sudden, I was outside of my apartment in Bed-Stuy just loading into a U-Haul, and I was kicked out of New York because I couldn't work. So I went home, got sober, which was crazy. My mom helped me get sober because I was drinking myself crazy to the point where I had liver damage.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? Yeah. Young too, at like 30. And me and my mom just bunkered down and I kicked it. I'm 16 months now.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's great.
We love to hear that.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And that's where I directed 98 Honda, a short film that stars Niles Abston, and it's written by him.
Excellent short film. Really great.
Hell yeah. Thank you for liking it. Executive produced by Ronnie Chang and Roy Wood Jr. Please watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's on YouTube. You can watch it. And it's really good, you guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you for saying
so. It's really cool. Yeah. No, I know. And I love everyone involved in that project, too.
We're trying to make it something big. And stay tuned there.
Yeah.
Yeah. From there, all of a sudden, I was like kind of back in my home in a similar mindset. I was teaching at a high school and also like ripping tickets at a venue at night. So I was working two jobs and I just left both of those and I was so bummed out. I was coming up on a year of being sober. So it's a wild inflection point. And I was just like watching so many movies. I was like, someone say something to me.
Yeah.
Like anchor me. Yeah. Like I feel like I'm floating in space. I need someone to say something to me. And this old Polish guy, Krzysztof Kieślowski, who I'd never heard of before. I just found his movies through watching every movie I can on the Criterion Closet. Yeah. You know who watches those movies? Me. I watch them. I watch every single one that you guys say. Found the Decalogue, his series that concentrates on an apartment building in Warsaw, Poland, and everyone's interacting, and each part is based on one of the Ten Commandments. And I was like, this is an incredible way to look at life. Faith, religion, all these things that have been floating around in my head since I was a kid. I got on the phone with my cinematographer, Eric. He said, we should do a comedy series. And I was like, I think I have an idea. And it just like fell out of my mouth. I was like, what if we do our version of the Decalogue based in Brooklyn with all these comedians that I've watched that are ascending that I've been fans of and am friends with. And from there on out, I think I casted it like by the nighttime of that phone call.
Yeah.
I reached out to everybody. Like I already knew who I wanted. And you all trusted me. And we wrote the thing in 4 months, one-on-one with everybody. And I think it's really fucking awesome and special. And I want to make it.
Yeah. It's, I mean, not just talking about myself, but I am the Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother episode. So, and I'm really excited for what we worked on together. And the script that we came up with is really fun. But also so many heavy hitters. Friend of the pod, former guest Jay Jordan.
Oh, nice.
Shalee was sharp, who we should get on the pod.
Yeah, we got to get on the pod.
Maggie Crane and Michael Terry. Just like a really, really, really solid, awesome group of people that are like concentrating each episode.
Yeah. So it's written. It hasn't been produced. So what's kind of the next step for you now? Like
the next step is the soul crushing ventures of fundraising.
Yeah, that's which was my next question.
Yeah, please go.
How do you? That's super vulnerable. First of all, like it's kind of we're in this weird space where we all have so many great ideas, and I know I have some, and Elise has some, and you know, but there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so many resources. Of course, if you're not like the child of a famous actor, you know what I mean? Like, if you're so crowdfunding again feels like so vulnerable. So it's like, how do you feel? Like, what's the process of you like putting yourself out there to ask for money? And like, how do you push past any reservations or any kind of things that might come up?
It's day to day. Usually, I'm hurting. Like, I'm just like, damn, this is hard. Oh, that only got 3 likes. Dang, I worked really hard on that. Like it'll get your ego. But me and Otto were editing the scripts, and we're editing yours specifically. And we were both just dying laughing. And then it ended and we didn't have to make any edits. And I was like, this shit is good, man. Like that's like fuck all my ego. Fuck like everything that's I think is holding me back and has traditionally held me back.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually good work and it deserves to be made. So like
it's almost like the knowledge that what the end result will be is something that you're like so proud of gets you through feeling like, oh, God, I'm like feeling cringy or I got to post another reel. I mean, I go through that. Like, we've worked together on producing shows. Like, it's hard to be like to feel like you're constantly spamming people. But the truth of it is the algorithm doesn't always show your shit. It doesn't just like immediately show your shit to everyone. So you do have to post
a lot
every day, basically.
That's what I've been doing,
like, to let people know. And it's like, people will see something and forget. Like, you have to also get people in their right time where they're like, you know what? I am sitting here and I have seen a couple ads. Like, Christian's been posting about this. I'm finally, like, in a moment where I have my wallet next to me. Like, I actually will donate. So it's like, You have to actually get seen by people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to actually get seen by them when they're in the right headspace, time, motivation. It's payday. They've got a little stuff. Like, you have
there's 500 wars going on globally. Like, yeah. Everyone, like, trans rights are out the window. Like, people are fucked up right now. The last thing they want to do is give money. Like, in any respect.
And also, like, there's a lot going on, and also Instagram doesn't make it easy to just click and donate.
No.
You have to like do a bunch of things. And also too, I mean, although it seems like corny or whatever to be posting a lot, like I think that, you know, knowing that the process that you've already done, like it's not just like, oh, I want to do this pipe dream one day. It's like, no, we're all professionals. We're all working with professionals, and we've made this kind of progress, and here's how you'll help to the end. I mean, I think that's like super valuable.
Yeah.
And that's like such an important strategy in crowdfunding too.
It's something I need to remind myself that I already did the hardest part
mm-hmm.
in getting you all, getting comedians together to do anything
yeah.
on time. And well, have y'all finished? Well, y'all don't.
Yeah, I'm like,
but historically,
but I'm also like, we've done a podcast for
for
a long time, so it's like,
but,
you know.
But getting people to accept collabs, we live the struggle of being like, could you just accept the collab?
Yeah,
for 24 like hours.
Black Oliver Twist, like please, just accept the collab.
Please. Please.
For 24 hours.
I know. We are constantly begging for collab acceptance. So if anyone is listening, and when you go on the Instagram and you see that someone did accept our collab, know that they're the real one.
Yes.
They're the real one.
Yes. Even people are like, oh my God, this was the best podcast ever. I love this. I'm so excited. They won't accept the
collab. Crickets.
I have one more thing to add mm-hmm. to the fundraising
yes.
thing. A lot of the shit happens outside of social media. You post something, you send someone to someone you thought loved you.
Yeah.
and the motherfuckers don't say shit back. They give you $5 when you know they got 500.
Yeah.
Well, let's relax on pocket watching for people's $500.
I don't know. I know some really rich people.
Okay. Because like, I'm like, listen,
I know really famous comedians, actors, all of them.
Listen, they're doing the famous comedians and actors.
Yeah.
They're doing gaming app commercials. Like, that's where we're at in the industry, okay?
I know it's
everyone's true. Doing bad.
I was talking to Ronnie Chang, and I was like, dude, how do we get this made? He's like, when you figure that out, you tell me, brother.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, you Ronnie Chang. And he's
no,
like,
I
and
don't
like
mean
we're
anything.
All we're all in the muck together. And it's nice to know that, but it's also depressing because all I want to do is make stuff.
I know.
You know?
Well,
I know that it's like you just have to have money.
Yeah.
And it's like the hardest thing to get.
Yeah.
If you don't already have it.
Hell yeah.
And then once you have a really good, really well-produced thing, then studios might give you money to make more, but you need to have had that first thing.
Yeah.
It's a large mountain to climb, but I don't know. We're already pretty damn far.
And you're on Go Touch Grass.
I'm on Go Touch Grass.
Bump. I'm going to include all the links.
Yes, it's going to be great.
Hell yeah.
So with that, let's get into today's discourse.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you were recently working at a high school, so I think you might have some interesting insights. Today we are talking about a concept that has taken TikTok by storm. We are back in the millennial versus Gen Z wars. We are discussing the Gen Z stare.
I need to know what this is, but I feel like I've gotten it as a teacher. I was teaching.
What do you think it is? And then we'll see if it
is.
Because you don't know what it is, right?
No, I don't. But I've felt the generational daggers that these people throw at you.
So what do you think the stare is?
I think it's a negative stare, but I also think it's like a stare in which like they're hearing you, but they don't respect what you're saying.
Okay. Okay.
We're gonna. Okay.
Millie, you've heard of the Gen Z stare?
I heard, so I'll withhold my comments.
But
let's see if your thing is.
So the Gen Z stare is. This is per Newsweek.
Please.
Writing about the Gen Z stare.
Newsweek.
I know.
Listen,
there's so much other shit going on. Newsweek, get it together, dog.
No, journalism is suffering too.
Okay.
We gotta write about this.
We gotta write about this. This will get more clicks than any.
God damn, you're right. It's
literally
institutional angst. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It is an emotionless blank gaze that Gen Z allegedly gives during everyday social interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what's interesting is there is kind of some argument over what it is. Like Gen Z will say that it's one thing, whereas other as whereas like millennials and other Gen Z who like kind of are on the millennial side of things, like they get what people are talking about, they will say that it is another. So there is even like kind of like a basic definition argument yeah. that's happening over what it is. So we're going to get into all of that. The way that I'm going to structure this is I'm going to show you guys the video that like pretty much kicked off the conversation. It's not the first time the words Gen Z stare have been coined, but like this is the one that like popped it off.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do like Gen Z argument, millennial counterpoint.
Ooh, I like that.
And we'll structure it that way. Though I will say there are a fairly decent amount of Gen Z people on TikTok who kind of actually fall into like the millennial counterpoint area. Yeah. So it's not, you know.
It's like pro or against maybe yeah, instead pro of Gen or Z against, or millennial.
But we're going to call it Gen Z argument, millennial yeah, counterpoint because okay. that is kind all of the way structured. That it's like structured in a way. But I just want to say, you know, like not all Gen Z.
Not all Gen Z.
Okay,
gotcha. Okay, so now let us watch this video from a creator known as The Designer. Designer is a one. And this video has 1.7 million views as of today.
Bruh, I just seen somebody coin the term Gen Z stare. And I'm so glad somebody gave it a term because the way some people in our generation act, it's like we cracked the old generations talking about the lead paint stare. But a lot of y'all have that same exact vibe. Like the other day, right? I'm on the elevator, or I thought I was on the elevator going down in my apartment. So I get on the elevator. And it's a guy in there, clearly going up. I press the button to go to the lower level. It's not working. And I feel like common sense would say that's the basic human interaction. But hey, this one's going up. Just go about your day. Instead, he stares on me until I say out loud. I'm like, oh, it's going up. And he's like, yeah. Like, bro, keep in mind, this interaction was not like a long interaction. This is probably like 30 seconds at most. But it's like simple things like that. People in our generation act like it's so hard to communicate. Like, bro, or even like, going to like a restaurant, like if you work in customer service, you already know, like working in customer service, Gen Z customers, and I'm not trying to say this like as if I'm not Gen Z, I'm 22, act like they have half a brain or maybe even a quarter of the brain. Like the communication skills sometimes for basic interactions is not there. And it's like, don't get me wrong, you feel me? I was there during the pandemic. I was in high school. I was not in school. So I get it. It definitely harmed us socially. And I also struggle from social anxiety. So I get it. But basic interactions, you should be able to communicate like a human being. Sure. It's not normal. It's not normal at all. It's not normal how people act like they can't talk. You're not mute. It's just really weird. Like, it's getting scary at this point.
Okay.
Wow. That's from a 22-year-old.
I know. So
crazy.
That's the thing is, like, there's like an inter-Gen Z conversation yeah. that is like also happening
okay.
in general, where that's there are some thoughts. People who are like, no, we definitely do this and it is fucking weird. So yeah, what are your guys' thoughts from the initial video that popped all of this off?
I think that this is, so there have been many conversations and many different avenues about Gen Z social interactions. I've had like a lot of people have had this like post-pandemic with like concerts and nightlife. Like something that I noticed, like right when the pandemic, I hate to say was over because there's no like clear delineation. But when bars were starting to open again, I started noticing a bunch of younger kids, like, you know, 21, 22 year olds. And they're like mad rude. Like my friend was bartending and they're like, Tecate. And it's like, whoa, like usually in this situation, you say, hello, hey, can I get this, please?
Hell
great.
Yeah.
How much? They didn't do that. So I was like, eh. So these are conversations that are always happening. And I feel like, so that is something maybe noticeable or whatever, but I feel like this probably popped off because there was so much shit about the millennial pause, like Gen Z.
Yeah.
And oh, I got cooked for my millennial pause by a friend of mine.
Wow. Yeah, but it's like,
it hurts. I don't know what something yeah, about that one hurt me.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, what is the pause, right? They're like, when you pause, like the way the millennials pause before they say anything. And it's like, is it a millennial pause or is it someone processing in real time what's happening? I don't know. So that, and of course, all these millennials and all these people were defensive.
Yeah.
So,
well, the millennial pause is specifically that at the start of a video, you don't speak immediately because we as millennials were, we remember a time where like the camera wasn't automatically on starting. And Gen Z is like, you're kind of all, it's that style, like you're kind of already talking as the video is beginning. And I will say, I cut the millennial pause out of any of my videos that I'm posting to TikTok. Yeah. They got me with that one.
So, but I'm saying now we have all these people defensive post-millennial pause critique that this thing, even if it is true or not, which I think we kind of all think it is kind of true, people were going to jump on this anyway because they were just looking for blood.
Yeah.
I mean, who's raising the Gen Z people? It's millennials, right?
No, or like elder, Gen X.
Gen X, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
Okay, please. Okay. I'm wrong.
Gen X voted for Trump. Raised Gen Z.
It's not us. We're raising Gen A, and they're fucked up in their own new special way.
Yeah.
It was a 5-month stint at this really cool high school where they didn't have classes. All the kids who didn't do well in public school came to this specific school. Uh-huh. And they had classes. They didn't have grades.
Yeah.
So it was just like a freewheeling school of all sorts of different, kids with needs. But they were all so fucking wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But they did not know how to talk to me, look me in the eye. They didn't know how to talk to, like, when they had presentations, they couldn't speak, or it was always looking at the feet. We had to teach people how to like kind of present themselves in a way that it made me a little worried. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It, because these are the kids that I was also a guidance counselor too. So I was about writing letters of recommendation for these kids. I was like, dang,
recommend them for shit.
they were really brilliant kids, but I was like, I wonder how these kids are going to do in a college environment where it's all about making friends off the bat. And connecting with people off the bat in person, because you can't escape your college roommates or anyone down the hall or even in classes. Like, it made me wonder how these kids are going to do. But it's a significant difference, I think, from what I noticed when I was teaching.
Yeah, I always go back and forth between not wanting to be like, the old man yells at cloud, kids these days are rude. They don't do what I want them to do.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I try to check that impulse in myself. And at the same time, I do think it would be insane for us not to account for the fact that, like, there was a massive socialization loss that took place with people who had to do very important school years in COVID and had to do it online and like missed out on just some really important life lessons. Yeah. Honestly, like opportunities to get called on being a fucking weirdo. Yeah. So like sometimes that's how you learn and it sucks. Like sometimes the way that you learn to be more pleasant is that someone goes like, why aren't you looking at me in the eye? Yeah. Or like, you need to speak. What are you doing? Like, and because so much happened online where you could just be camera off, whatever, I think some of those important moments of getting checked for your bullshit did not happen. And now there is like this level of insulation and defensiveness around it that is maybe unique to Gen Z.
And just to like piggyback off what you're saying, as you were speaking, it reminded me of like, this was something that people were warning and discussing during the pandemic about like how online school is obviously it wasn't good for anybody, but it was also like the way that preschoolers learn is through play. Like the way that young, 15, 17 year olds is like their developmental things happen those times. And like by missing out on social interactions, like it's exactly what you were saying, which was something that was published on NPR of like when being the lead of a school play or having somebody reject you to prom, or those are the interactions that really mold us to adults in society.
Hell yeah.
And like they missed out on that for a year or 2 years and like the most crucial point. And now they're 21, 22, because it's been 5 years and they're ordering on restaurants, they're doing, and it's a little off.
Yeah, it honestly reminds me of, okay, so there's like this thing called single kitten syndrome my beautiful biz does suffer from single kitten syndrome. It's mm-hmm. fine. But it's basically this idea that like if you take a kitten away from its mother at too young of an age. So Biz, my cat, was found like alone when she was like a very little kitten. Those kittens oftentimes will like bite harder or whap at you harder because they didn't learn by playing with other kittens like what's too hard. And so you're supposed to teach them by like if they bite you too hard, you're supposed to like do a big loud like yelp so that
they know.
Yeah, they learn. But it does remind me, like, sometimes I'm like, these kids have single kitten syndrome. Like, they don't know what's play, what's too hard, what's too this. Like, they don't know how to be. So
it's tough because, you know, even younger, like my seniors, they were missing elementary school recesses.
Yeah.
You know, they were missing the after school sports, the things I remember being really social around, like, you know, at recess telling girls you have crushes on them, even like even exploring those feelings. They're all sequestered to Instagram. Like, that's not the way to explore those human feelings, you know, and progress is through your phone, and it fucks them up, man.
Yeah.
So it's really like I have a lot of sympathy and not as much angst or counterpoints because I was just there. Like, I hope my kids that I taught are okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They will be, but...
Yeah, it's just, I mean...
They're getting clowned for it a little bit.
They're getting clowned a little bit.
And it's because they clowned us first.
Word.
Well, yes. So that's basically... So this video gets posted, right? The conversation starts happening. And there is a subsect of Gen Z that just, like, is not taking the conversation well. I did see one video that I didn't even include because it's, like, whatever. But it's, like... It's actually ableist and I'm like, you're doing the thing. But it sparked this greater conversation that's like, okay, you guys have been clowning millennials for years now. Everything about us, how
the
we part our
jeans,
hair, our
the
socks, etc. And for us to come up with like one mild thing that we observe that you do. Now that it's like this big freak out.
Said, get ready, babe. Get ready.
Yeah, because
we
Alpha's coming
entitled.
For you.
And Alpha's coming for you, and we're coming for you because we were called entitled early.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. So, okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to use comments from the original video to talk about like these different responses. So this is our first Gen Z argument, number one, which goes a little bit to what we were saying, which is basically... It's just us reacting to the fact that everyone else is stupid. So one comment, as a member of Gen Z, I usually do it when I'm shocked. Like, this can't be real. This meme is a reference and then it's something in, I don't know, Chinese. Okay. People complain about the Gen Z stare, but I was taught if you don't have anything nice to say, don't speak at all. And I'm tired. LOL. Bro, the Gen Z stare is us trying to process stupidity. That's all it is. We don't like small talk, long talk, or any type of talk. We like to keep to ourselves and do what we got to do.
Jesus Christ.
I know. So that's number one. And this kind of speaks to the like definition issue that we're seeing. Because a bunch of people will basically say this thing that's like, no, it's just that like customers will say stupid shit to us. So I'm staring at you because you're stupid. And then a bunch more people came in to make videos. And that's millennial counterpoint number one. No. We're not talking about a customer service stare that is like universal to working in customer facing jobs where you, someone asks you something stupid. We're talking about actually a flipped relationship. Like, I've seen a bunch of people talk about like them as a server trying to be like Gen Z's servers or a host where you're asked normal basic questions and they don't answer. Like, it'll be like, so still water or sparkling? And it's just... stare back, you know? So it's like, actually, we're talking about interactions where you are the customer and you are impossible to deal with. And also just basic normal things of like someone saying hello to you, someone like this woman's video, she's like trying to, you know, usually you're like, oh, this one's going up in the elevator, like these basic other things that aren't someone else's stupid.
Yeah.
Also, like sometimes someone else is being stupid and you can still just be like nice.
Hey,
to them.
Or you can say,
they're having a bad day. You can at least talk to them like a person. To say nothing is like, it's like inhumane. That's the part. The Gen Z is forgetting the humanity of this whole conversation.
Well, I feel like, again, you're saying people got their socialization from Instagram, from social media, that's highly curated algorithmic things that are serving them exactly what they want to see at all times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that is taking the human part of like, to be human. I mean, it's the same thing we were talking about AI, mm-hmm. where like where people want to fuck AI and sext AI because AI knows exactly what you're going to like. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really, that's not human. Like sometimes to be a human and to be in a community, just like if you're in a group of kittens or if you're mm-hmm. raised by wolves, like you got to do things that aren't always serving just you at yeah. all times. Like, well, what's the point of saying hi to your neighbor? You don't, it's just to say hi, because that's what it means to be human, that you're around someone else. And then maybe somebody picks up your package or something like that. Like, then you have said hi to your neighbor. Like,
yeah.
I have a theory. I agree with everything you just said. But you know when you say hi to someone you see, or you're just even like menial interactions, I get a little like reward burst, like a little dopamine rush from saying hi. What if Gen Z folks just don't have that reward system? Like they just don't have that brain pleasure of interacting with people.
I mean, there might be something to that, which would kind of like ties into like the second argument. The one thing I wanted to say on this point before we go there is there was this one comment that I kept seeing on like a bunch of different videos. Everyone wants a village, but they don't want to be the villager.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really like that. It's like, you can't be like, I'm lonely. I have social anxiety.
Yeah.
What's going, like, why is dating so hard? Where's the community? We need to lift each other up. And then also be like, if you say something that I think is stupid, I'm going to stare at you.
If I'm tired and I'm having a long day and whatever, I don't want to talk to you. And like, I blah, 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 but it's like, I'm so lonely. Where can I find people? It's just like, yo.
Also, sometimes you can, even like a stupid customer interaction can turn into something nice. Like the other day, I went to go see Superman, which was really good.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's really good.
I fucking loved Superman. Highly recommend Superman. And I don't give two shits about Superman, mm-hmm. but I loved it. Yeah. But I went to the theater and my friend had like screenshotted me the ticket. And it was like a theater that I haven't gone to before. Basically, I thought what they had screenshotted me was the thing that I needed to scan to receive my ticket. So I'm like in front of the thing trying to scan the QR code. It's not working. First of all, I can never get the movie thing to scan the QR code.
I think it's difficult on purpose. I swear.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a whole other thing. I always have to use my credit card.
We can't sound like boomers, guys.
Yo, we can't.
I'm trying to be honest out here. I can never get the QR code to scan when I'm at the movie theater.
I'm sorry. I'm triggered because I got a really mean casting notice for Grandma.
Yeah, so that is true. Like, that happened to Millie recently.
That happened to me recently. Someone's like heavy set woman in their 40s to 70s. So I'm like, yeah, we're young and cool. And Elisa's like, I had a problem with the QR code.
I can't get the QR code.
I'm getting, it's my birthday in a week, guys. I'm feeling a lot of things.
Happy early birthday. No shame over the fact that I cannot figure out how to get the ticket scanner thing at the movie theater, any movie theater, mm-hmm. to scan the QR code that's on my phone. And I do always have to use my credit card. Either way, that's what I think is happening.
Okay.
But I don't have the credit card that's associated with this because my friend bought the ticket, et cetera. So I go up to the front and I'm talking to, you know, the ticket taker. And I'm like, I can't get my ticket. And he looks at me, pauses, and is basically like, so that is your ticket. What you are showing me is your ticket. And I was like the stupid person who can't work the fucking thing, doesn't even know that I'm holding my ticket, et cetera. And this guy was really nice and we laughed about it. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, what? Like, we just, it turned into a nice interaction. And
then
I was like,
you fucked him in the bathroom.
Yeah. And then and he's here watching us record.
That's why you like the movie so much.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, I love the
film. I love Superman.
Yep, exactly. I had a great time at Superman.
And it turned into a nice interaction where, yeah, we fell.
Yeah, and I fell in love with the ticket guy at Regal Essex. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, sometimes even just being nice to someone who's being dumb or doesn't get what's happening. Like, have you never asked a stupid question? Like, I don't know. Again, it goes back to the humanity thing where I'm like, also, someone being dumb and asking you a dumb question isn't a crime that you need to like.
Not yet.
Not yet,
but in Trump's America.
It might be.
And in Trump's America, it's all stupid questions.
I have a congenial like interaction that I think saved my life for real. Yeah. That happened when I was at that ticket ripping job. I was having a rough go. And like, I think, yeah, it was like a couple months to a year of me being sober. And it was a long day. All sorts of angry white Western masters. They're tough.
Yeah. Massholes.
Masshole. Yeah, I grew amongst them. I know them very well. Anyway, the last guy in line, we were just talking. And like, I don't know, something about him, I just want to talk to him for a little bit. And all of a sudden it blurted out that I was trying to get my sobriety under check. And he's like, do you go to meetings? And I was like, nah, I don't think I need to. And he's like, give me your number. And he just texts me the link to AA. He's like, takes a lot to go in there, but once you do, like, you'll be proud of yourself. I was like, I don't know. He's like, just think about it. And like a couple weeks passed and I was having a tough one. And I pulled up his text, found a meeting, and that was my first meeting, and I've been going ever since.
Oh,
see, that's beautiful.
Yeah. But you had to talk to him.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And then you had sex with him.
Yeah, yeah, in the bathroom.
And then
yeah.
You had sex with and him then, and
you fucked.
Uh-huh. And then like, we saw Superman rocks. Together, actually.
And then you saw Superman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But it's like, fun. That is, wait, so this comment that's like, we don't like small talk, long talk, or any
long
type of talk, which
long
is
talk.
Crazy.
No, babe, go get depression pills. Like,
yeah, it's like, that's how you meet people.
I don't like
people.
Long talk.
Like, yeah, so you don't want to interact with anybody. Like, that's the juice of life.
Yeah.
That's the joy of living, is to like meet a random person and be like, wait, I just had a really interesting conversation
yeah.
with that stranger or whatever. So okay,
mm-hmm.
This will bring us to our next Gen Z argument number two. So this is Gen Z argument number two, which mm-hmm. is basically like that the Gen Z scare, as we talked about, is because of social anxiety. And that COVID messed us up and we have not been socialized and everyone should basically just like
deal with it.
Which the millennial counterpoint to is, yeah, that sucks. We feel bad for you. You got to learn how to do it. Like, you have to learn to do it. And then, yeah, we can go to this next slide. They cry anxiety, but their anxiety is always high because they refuse to interact in real life and attempt to build social skills. Like, yeah, girl, I'd be anxious, too, if I never spoke to another human off the internet before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this idea of it's basically like both sides are saying the same thing on this one. But the Gen Z point is like, we have social anxiety and we're not going to do anything about it. And the millennial one is like, we get that you have social anxiety. You really should do something about it.
The way I look at it is like, I don't know. We survived that really terrible time together.
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to live life a little fuller because I don't know when that shit will happen again.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, I feel like that's a perspective that maybe Gen Z could pick up a little bit. Like, that was tough, but you're here. Like,
yeah.
So enjoy the here.
And not everyone is here.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Not everyone is here.
Exactly.
And
I lost some people, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also just like, no one's saying that you can't get off the internet. Maybe, well, we are. We're saying go touch ground.
Yeah.
That's kind of the title,
yeah.
Actually.
That's just us.
That's us. But in general with Gen Z is like, you know, and even Caleb said this. It's like, yeah, again, you're looking for community. Maybe you can be online in a coffee shop around other people. You know, somebody brought up, you know, and I mean, I don't want to go down my walkable city urban transit rabbit holes that
ooh,
I'm always.
I like
that's
that
Millie's,
rabbit hole.
One of Millie's biggest soapboxes.
One of my biggest soapboxes, but it's also just like, you know, the same thing that people say about chickens, where it's like, you kind of a cage-free chicken that was able to roam and, you know, have space and all that stuff, like, is more valuable because they lived a fuller life before we slaughtered them and ate them. Humans are supposed to kind of see other humans.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be able to, like, wake up, and that's how, like, we kind of reorient. It's like, even if I don't want to see anyone, I have to wake up and walk my dog and see 10, 12, 15 people
mm-hmm.
on my walk and just remember that I'm like, my life is bigger than me. And also there are people around me who don't even know what I'm talking about, who are nice, who are this. Like, that visual cue reminder, I think, is important too. I mean, you know, that's a walkable city thing, but it's also just like, if you're not even leaving your house or this and that, which, you know, is kind of a thing. It's like, well, now they're getting everything by AI. You know, this what they're predicting with AI in the next year is that, like, you know, people are going to use AI as an assistant. So it's like, book me this, book me that. But it's also like, yeah, people are not going to get recommendations on restaurants or anything from their friends. It's going to be from AI. You don't have to go to the store. You can order everything in. But then what does that do to your, like, sense of self. And when you have a problem or an obstacle, it's going to feel so insurmountable because you're in a little moat. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to do a good job of like saying hello to my neighbors. I've also been in my place for a really long time. So, you know, I know them. And there are times where I'm walking home and I can see my neighbors out in front of his place. And I just am like, I really don't fucking feel like saying hi today. But I do it. And a lot of times we have a nice conversation or just a neutral conversation. And it took 1 minute out of my day and I'm more involved in the community that's around me. And
you got all the goss.
Yeah, I got all the goss.
Oh, you got some tea?
And I sometimes. I mean, usually the tea is like, that building's on fire.
Oh, shit.
You're like, and I'm like, oh.
You need to know that. That's what I'm saying.
Like, literally, yes. So it's that. And it is this thing of like, I do feel like one of the generational differences maybe between millennials and Gen Z. And it's not like either side is 100% wrong or right. But I do think that Gen Z is very like, my comfort oriented. Like you don't have a right to like intrude on my comfort or make me feel any type of way that I don't want to feel. And you don't have a right to like make demands of me. And I think there have been good things
There's so many good things in terms of the workplace.
Where it's like, no, you actually don't get to demand that I come in early, stay late, do this, do that. Like I think there have been good changes to that. And also, there is a value to being fucking polite and have exchanging niceties with people, which brings us to the final Gen Z argument.
You're a segue queen, by the
way. Thank you. Millie's the pun segue queen. Okay. Segue queen,
I would say. Okay, word.
But
this is, I'm keeping game.
Flowy. I got the flow.
Okay. We've been doing it for a while.
I know. Yeah. We've been figuring this out. This is like kind of the classic Gen Z argument where a lot of things get, which is I don't owe you politeness. So here are a bunch of comments. I do this on purpose. Just don't talk to me. As a Gen Z, it's mainly because I don't want to talk. I mean, at least in the elevator situation, he's not obligated to speak to you. You clearly found out on your own. Lack of social skills. And the whole time, I just don't want to talk to anyone and I'm not obligated to. Sometimes people don't like small talk. So it's this idea of like, I don't owe politeness to you.
Damn.
Shit,
we're fucked, yo.
We're not fucked because they're getting cloned. Listen, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you're right. We're here clowning them.
Yeah,
you're
we're climbing them. This is weird behavior.
Yeah.
Like, man. It's okay. You're right. You're not obligated. You're not whatever. This, that, and the third. This is what I feel like, too. I feel this way, and just I'm going to apply this to comedy. Right. So there's a lot of people. I've been in this community for I've been doing this since 2012, basically, in classes, and I've been networking or whatever since 2011.
True.
So I have a lot of friends who are like, I'm just in it to do business. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to chat. Like, don't involve me because I'm like, did you hear about this or did you hear about this venue or did you hear about this person or this guy? Like, you know, touch somebody in an inappropriate way. And there are just so many people are like, I don't care about the gossip. I don't want this. I don't want that. I just do my thing, go home. These aren't my real friends. Like, I have my own friends in my own life. Then when a show is casting, when everybody knows don't work with this person because they don't pay people on time, when then this and that is like, yeah, that's kind of why you want to. And also, like, when you have a show, you know, and you're excited, you have a whole community of your peers that are also excited and also rooting for you and also support you in a way that you could only get support from other people. So it's just like, I want the good things, but not the bad things, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's not like you have to gossip or you have to whatever to get stuff. But I'm also just like, it's what we were saying earlier. Like, well, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not obligated. And it's like, you can do whatever you want. You're going to get clowned. And also you're going to miss out on a lot.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to have like the in-group information that you exchange via small talk and long talk, which is having a conversation with someone
which
else.
Which is purely speaking to someone for a few minutes.
Yeah,
like, long talk is crazy.
I know. Kids. That is like, so I don't want to talk to anyone like wild. Like, you're not going to get that important information. And also, like, to what you were saying, if your thing is that you clock in and clock out, when people are like, who do I want to book on my show? Who do I want to work with on a project? You know, mm-hmm. when Christian is making the Decalogue, yeah. if you, you know, maybe ran into someone at a show and they didn't speak to you, didn't make eye contact with you, didn't say shit to you and left, that's not someone you're going to reach out to absolutely put in not. Your next project. Because like why the fuck would you?
Yes.
Like, why? Yeah, why?
Also, sorry, like the small talk thing, I think it's kind of outdated. This is another analogy.
Let's go.
Like, okay, two things really quickly. This is, you, people used to say there's no good Mexican food in New York City. That's not true anymore. That hasn't been true for the past 10, 15 years. I feel like the same thing is for small talk. Actually, you do need to talk about the weather because it's changing. Yes. And it's fucking yeah. dramatic yeah. so much. And people are like, it's small talk to talk about the weather. I like to talk to people about the weather because that's how people know. I'm like, do you know tomorrow, today is 62. Tomorrow's going to be 98. So then people yeah. are like, oh shit, I didn't know. We're like, oh my God. That, like, it's going to rain.
It's survivalist.
Later. It's crazy. it's a, you have to check in with people. Talk. Or people are like, oh yeah, the air quality. Or like, actually, it doesn't look that high, but the humidity index, like people are looking into shit that I didn't even fucking know.
I'm a big small talk defender. I've, one of my like big red flags is someone who's like, I don't like small talk. I want to talk about the fabric of the universe. And God, I'm like, cool. We're just interacting for like a couple seconds because we're in line together. Yeah. I don't. It
sir,
doesn't
this
mean,
is a Wendy's.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. is very sir, this is a Wendy's. It's like, yeah, I'll talk about the fabric of the universe with you sometimes. But sometimes it's like we are exchanging pleasantries.
Yeah.
It's not that serious. Engaging in small talk doesn't mean someone's dumb or can't talk about other things. It just means that they're like, huh, we're all standing in this room. What if instead of sitting in silence, we discussed some commonalities, one of which being that it's hot or it's raining or whatever the fuck? Like,
you should have came into my class at the high school to speak to these kids.
Truly. So, okay, this also leads to a sub conversation that actually took me the fuck out. So did you guys know that some people on Gen Z don't think that you should say hello first when someone calls you?
Yeah.
So,
and this is, it caused a whole argument all weekend over Twitter.
Yes.
I had to look at my camera for the first time and go, what?
Yeah. Okay. So it started with this tweet from Joralex Terra that said, I'm a recruiter, so I do a ton of phone interviews. And something I've noticed about Gen Z specifically is that a lot of them answer the phone and don't say anything. Like, I can hear their breathing and the background noise, but they want you to say hello first.
On some Michael Myers? On some horror movie
and then
shit?
Here what are some people writing back being like, "It's if you call someone, you should talk first."
No.
Isn't it universal law that the person who's doing the calling should be the one to say hello? Like, people are actually... And this took me out because I was like, that is actually taking this weird like obligation thing to such a strange level, because the point of you saying hello first is so that I know that you've picked up. I can't know that you picked up the phone if you don't say hello, because sometimes calls drop or you can't hear me. This really shook
yeah,
me.
So, no, that's the level yeah. that people are at. So this is what I'm saying. Like, this is why it's good to have these conversations of like, hey, this is the societal norm. And you do whatever you want in that, but just know that this is not what people are used to.
So not only is it a societal norm, the word hello was invented as a way for people to announce that they had answered the telephone. This is,
I think I knew this.
Hello gained widespread popularity as a common English greeting, particularly
oh
with the
God.
Advent of the telephone. While the word itself existed earlier, Thomas Edison is credited with popularizing it at its use as a standard telephone greeting. Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone, initially preferred ahoy, that rocks, but hello ultimately became the dominant choice. So the popularity of hello as a greeting
oh my God.
Is literally because when the phone was invented, they were like, well, we need something for someone to say when they've picked up the phone.
Dog.
And I am a little sad we didn't go with ahoy.
Ahoy! That's probably going to come back. Speaking of indie sleeves, remember when you can get your Facebook in pirate language?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
that was a millennial wrong.
That was a millennial wrong. But I'm like, it's ahoy is very much giving pirate language Facebook.
Yes.
You know what? This is troubling because, you know, incels are being made this way by like not reaching
knowing
out.
Knowing the norms. Yeah.
Not knowing the norms, having the way they're psych. There's philosophy about life affirmed by these strangers online.
Yeah. Like, imagine a girl calls you and you're just like, hey.
And then they're like, women are gold diggers. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. I shared this quote a long time ago, but this incel in a forum was like, hey guys, I went to community college and no one was talking about beta, alpha, whatever. There was a girl who was a really pretty girl who was dating a guy who's balding. Like, there's people weren't mean to me, blah, blah, blah. Like, whoa, like, I got off the internet and realized it's not that serious.
Yeah.
But it's like, but the thing is that there are people profiting from giving these people this misinformation stuff. Yeah. So it's like,
yes.
But they, that's why they need to hear from a lot of people say, hey,
no.
That, like, the actual word hello means answer the phone.
Yeah. Like, that is what hello is for. I will say, the only argument that I heard for this that had any water to me is basically that it was like, Gen Z was like, well, for my entire life, 99.9% of phone calls I receive are spam calls.
Ooh, you're right.
And
it doesn't activate until you say hello.
Yeah, and I have been kind of taught that you shouldn't say hello because then it starts recording or it can spoof your voice, whatever. I'm like, maybe that's the millennial in me that I never think about that.
I think it's true because sometimes you answer the phone with the spam calls and they don't start their recording until you say hello, or like they don't start that response until you say hello. So I could give credence to that.
I have a little bit of something for that, that if there is a thought process of like they pick up the phone and they want you to say hello first because that's like proof of life that you're a real person on the other side.
But we're going to say don't do that.
But I'm going to say you do have to say hello when you pick up the phone because otherwise no one knows that you've picked up the phone.
Yeah.
The spam thing. I get it. Yeah. I get hundreds of spam calls, texts. It's actually an enormous problem. And I wish that there wasn't so much going on existentially in the world that there was actually like political will to be like, we should do something about spam calls. But it's like that's so low on the to-do list.
That's subterranean.
Exactly. But I'm like,
what we
got to
deal with. But it hurts. It
is annoying.
Yes.
It is fucking annoying.
Check your settings though. Not to sound like that guy, but there's really good spam block settings.
You know who has good spam block? Android.
There we go.
Android.
So let me get to the final millennial counterpoint,
please.
Which is basically Gen Z says, we don't owe you politeness. Millennials say, yes, you fucking do. So I actually feel like this one creator that we're about to watch spoke about this in a really good way. She's Perez Brenna is her handle. She had made a previous video about the Gen Z stare and then also another video that was just about Gen Z humor. Both of them are literally just observational. She was like, Gen Z humor is more like this. Millennial humor is more like this. And both videos have gotten her like massive hate. So the video we're about to watch is her replying to a comment of someone saying, you're not owed anything on her video about the Gen Z stare. So that's like what we're seeing.
Okay. Lord, this is lore. The studies, wow. I love it.
Fun fact, you are owed nothing. Hope this helps. Bold words coming from a group of people who literally cannot handle when someone does or says anything they even just mildly disagree with. You don't get to have this attitude and be as sensitive as you are. And before I go on, let me just make it clear. I'm only referring to the Gen Z who are responding like this. The rest of you guys are cool. I bet you expect other people to respect the fact that you don't owe them anything. Well, they don't owe you the respect of them not owing you anything because they don't owe you anything either. Yes, it is true that you are owed nothing, but it also means that you are owed nothing. So you don't get to be mad or annoyed by anything anyone ever does ever, including talking about the Gen Z stare, because you don't get to have an expectation that people will not talk about the Gen Z stare. And this also means you are not owed being welcome in society. So if you're not willing to do what society has deemed is the bare minimum to be a society, which in general is just like acknowledging and treating other human beings as human beings, then you are not welcome in society because society is not owed to you either. And by the way, you're also not allowed to complain about not having having community if you're unwilling to be community. This is all well and good as like a general idea, because sure, you should not feel entitled to a lot of things. However, it also falls apart quite quickly if you also expect that society will continue to exist. And it's fine. If you don't want to acknowledge someone's existence when they're just doing their job and greeting you or asking you a question, or if you don't want to acknowledge someone's existence, ask them a question or answer it while you're doing your job, very poorly, I might add, that's fine. But no one has to like you. No one has to be nice to you. No one has to employ you. And the rest of us can move on to not just talking about it, but making fun of you for it. And you don't get to be mad because you're not owed anything. But who am I kidding? I'm sure you've never been upset by anything anyone else has ever done, right? Hope that helps.
Okay, real quick,
This, yes.
Something about this white woman telling me what society is and is it should be rubbed me the wrong way. Harkens back to older times that our people shouldn't, revisit. But also, like, I felt okay boomer watching that a little bit. I felt like she was yelling at that stranger. I guess it was a response to all the hate.
It was a response to something.
Okay, yeah, she's like responding to a comment of someone saying that. You can like see it up in the top. I mean, I agree with the video. Say that I agree with her.
I think her overall point is, if she was someone whose entire TikTok presence was be like, this is how you have to be in society, this is how you have to be in society, I would have more of that feeling resonating of like, who the fuck is this bitch? Whatever. But like, it's because she's coming at people who are critiquing a thing that, you know, having a conversation about a thing that a generation of people do, I would leave it credence because it's just saying like, listen, it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to do anything, but like you will get made fun of it and you can't say anything because you want to live in this world where what you do shouldn't affect anyone. And then it's like, so then what other people do shouldn't affect you.
Yeah, I guess it is. The idea that I liked behind it is it's like, okay, if you want to take this to its logical conclusion, it goes both ways. Like you don't get to say no one owes you politeness, but then you want people to cater to your feelings and your emotions and be, which is a form of politeness to you.
Yeah.
So that's what I liked about it.
Okay. But I feel, but you can have whatever feelings.
I mean, within the context, like, obviously she's responding to hate. Like, she has to defend herself.
Yeah.
And you guys bringing that back up, especially as a woman online, you got to defend yourself. Yeah. I understand that. I just, was that helpful? Like, was Gen Z going to want to say hi to people after that? I guess that's like kind of what my thing is.
But it's like, it's the conversation. Like if people are going to be like, I don't owe you anything, then she's going to be like, well, sure. But that's what this means. When you say I don't owe you anything, that's what it means to me, is that it's like, okay.
And I think with online conversation, the reality is like some people are never, ever going to change. But with conversation, the way that it pops up in discourse, it's like allowing people who maybe weren't aware of it before or can understand, like, what is the thought process behind someone just staring at you? Is it rudeness? Is it this? Is it the COVID thing? Which, again, maybe people, it's easy to be like, oh, Gen Z is just rude. And it's harder to be like, they missed out on 3 or 4 years of their development and they're a little delayed. But also, like, let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, it's never about, like, someone's going to watch a video and completely change your point of view. If that would happen, you know, we'd be
world
rich.
Peace.
Yeah.
I'm the shit. Yeah.
We'd be rich.
I know.
But, no, it's just, again, our Gen Z, the people who are pissed, they're not going to whatever. But it's a good way to view of, like, this is where this rabbit hole goes of you saying that you're not.
Yeah.
You don't owe anybody anything.
Also, one thing I did want to note is like she's kind of making reference in that video to a discourse from the past that came up maybe like a year or so ago.
She's been in on this. Okay.
It's been a whole thing.
I had no idea.
It's been this entire thing, like this is a flare up of a conversation that like
keeps
coming up.
Understood.
And so there was one that was about like Gen Z when they're working customer service jobs, not like saying hello or doing any of the small talk stuff that usually like you kind of expect. And there was this back and forth conversation about them being like, I don't need to do the emotional labor of like greeting you when you come into the store. And then people being like, okay, well, that is kind of like what the job is. And then being like, no, it's not. My job is to fold the shirts. And then I don't know. It's like, yeah. So it's like she was kind of making reference to that past conversation too, where she was saying the stuff about being employable. It was, I think she's talking about like, okay, yeah, like you don't have to say hello to customers or whatever, but you might not be perceived as like the person who's going to get a raise or the person who's going to get the next thing or like keeping that position.
Like, people want to come in a store that and they're greeted. That's also a thing that people were talking about. This, that was a flare up from a past conversation, but that was something that it comes up like now where it's like, if you walk into a store and no one greets you, like it's like they're not excited for your business. They're not this, they're not that. Like, that doesn't feel good, you know?
Especially if it, well, let's go back to the race thing. If it's a white Gen Zer and they don't say hi to my ass when I go in,
I feel like
a whole history of things.
A whole thing is like, why aren't they saying hi?
Yeah.
What's going on? And this, that, whatever, mm-hmm. which is like, and in their head, they're like, I don't owe anybody this. I'm not paid to say hi. But you see where that comes in. So it's like, that's why we live in a society.
Yeah. And it is one of those things where it's like, again, I don't think that they're 100% wrong in the sense of like, I do feel like with the millennial generation and before that, the like customer's always right thing got way out of fucking hand and people felt incredibly entitled to just be
terrible.
Monstrous to someone who's working in a store or behind a counter. And I do think it's good for us to push back on that and be like, but I don't think it's, I guess for me, it's not that it's like, you don't have to say hello, but it's like, no, you don't get to be fucking rude to me just because you're the customer. Like, I won't be doing that. And I do feel like that is like a good thing that Gen Z has brought where it's no, I'm not like your servant just because I'm the cashier here.
Yeah.
But you could also say hi. So it's like kind of in the middle, I guess.
There's a difference between boundary setting and then not even laying the floor plan for boundaries.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And it feels like Gen Z is just not even allowing for there to be a boundary and a space to even like cross that boundary. So I don't know how we build this. I keep saying I feel bad for them, but like, dang, we far gone.
I know.
Yeah.
We're
not saying hello when you pick up the phone. That's scaring me.
Yeah.
Very.
But I feel like, again, us talking about it and creating discourse, like, that is how people know. And that's what we were talking about, gossip. It's like, that's how people are informed about like the rules and norms in society and stuff. And this goes perfectly into our final segment of the show, Grasshole of the Week.
Wow.
We pick one person or group of people or family so that needs to log off more than anyone else. And this is a conversation that is all about etiquette. Guys, have you heard of Antipasto Gate?
I've been following Antipasto Gate.
No.
Have you heard of Antipasto Gate?
Go on. What is this?
I've been following it.
Well, it all started on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole at Folk Medicine Remedies on TikTok, she posts this video where she retold an experience of attending, or at least trying to attend, a 4th of July party she was invited to by the mom of her son's friend.
Okay.
So the mom of her son's best friend, Samantha, that was hosted by her extended family. So again, her son has a new, basically she's like, I'm so humiliated. I'm new to this area. I just moved 1,000 miles away to be here. And so I made an antipasto salad, this big, gorgeous salad. Then she shows the salad that she made. I think we have the next slide. So that's her crying on camera. And this is the salad she made, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And an antipasto salad, for those not in the Italian X community, is it's like, it's like a cold plate. Usually there's like mozzarella, there's like a tomato component, and then this also, it seems like it has some like cured meats.
Nice.
It's not like a salad in the traditional way, it's more like,
it's like a, it's appetizer, right?
Yeah.
So she says, so the salad she made has slices of salami, tomato, mozzarella, basil, oregano, and pepperoncini, and are were carefully arranged in a sheet pan with a drizzle of balsamic vinaigrette. Nicole says that she walked into the party hosted by a local couple, Stacia and Jake Hicks, who are aggressive, and was immediately greeted with hostility from Jake. Less than 5 minutes later, she says another woman walked into the house and confronted her, saying, quote, "It's really rude to walk into somebody's house and not introduce yourself. He's absolutely flipping out outside about some stranger." So then this is what this woman said. She said she was so confused. She was caught in a deer in headlights because she thought she was invited. And she goes, "I was like, I'm really sorry. I don't even know whose house this is." And the girl goes, "Exactly. You shouldn't be here."
Damn.
Nicole was like, "Okay." So I walk outside. Then Nicole said that some of the people at the party wouldn't even look at her. And others were angrily looking at her like she did something completely wrong. So then Nicole says, "I was totally distraught. I've never been treated that way. It was like probably a $40 salad. I used all the really nice salami and cut meats. And all the vegetables that were included in the antipasto salad were picked from her yard." She said, "I just wanted to make a good impression." Damn. And she ends the video saying, "This is why you don't make friends in your 30s.
Oh, dang. Where is this happening?
This is in Virginia.
Okay, that's
so this video goes super viral, gets 35 million views, currently has 3.5 million likes and about 115,000 comments that are honestly mostly supportive. Everyone's like, "That salad was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. How are they going to ignore you and be like, you know, you're going to introduce yourself?" And then some other people were saying, "A good party is prepared for extras. These people don't know how to host." And then other people were, you know, being like, "They don't deserve your antipasto. What the fuck is wrong with them?" So this got so viral that the whole internet was posting recaps and all this stuff. So what do you guys think so far about Miss Antipasto?
Dang.
I mean, yeah, I feel like a 4th of July party is typically something where there might be one or two like plus ones that are usually there. Even if it wasn't that type of party and this was like a misunderstanding from the person, Samantha, that brought Miss Antipasto.
Yeah.
Even still, you can like rock with it, yeah. I guess guess it's actually reminding me of like Cher's speech in Clueless, where it's like, you get in the kitchen, you move some things around, and we can totally party with the Haitians. like because that's our whole thing, is like sometimes people RSVP who didn't RSVP, you got to make room for extras. Sometimes there's an extra person, whatever. It could be a little awkward if technically this was more of like a smaller gathering, but at the same time, like, this woman's shown up with food.
That's the key.
That's the key, which a lot of people don't even show up to parties with food.
I'll nothing. And they keep the shoes on when you tell them to take them off.
And they keep the shoes off when you take them off. But I'm saying, people don't even show up for food. So for this lady to bring this...
From her garden.
Yeah. It goes back to kind of what we were talking about like being a human. Like, can't you understand as a human that the awkwardness of her walking in and realizing, oh shit, this is like a more intimate gathering than I anticipated, or like, oh, like, I maybe this wasn't the right party for me, and trying to rock it out, and like, you could be a human too and just be nice and welcoming to the person who showed up.
Yeah. So this next video we're gonna watch is just a reaction from, this is from Pearlmania 500, and this guy has 3.4 million followers. And this was mostly like I'm just going to show you like the internet response and then the response of our grassroots.
Amazing.
Ooh, okay.
Let me explain something to you, you dumb hicks, okay? If you have people over and somebody shows up and they have an antipasto salad, that person didn't need an invite to come over. They brought an antipasto salad. The antipasto salad is the invite, especially if it's this antipasto salad. Look at that antipasto salad. I want to tell you something right now. If I went to the Cherry Hill, New Jersey Wegmans, this shit would be $120. There's $120 worth of antipasto salad. That lady made by hand this antipasto salad. She went to the grocery store. She bought $40 worth of meat and cheese in Virginia. She got a tray. She probably went to Dollar General, bought a tray. That tray cost more money because of fucking tariffs. She went and she handpicked tomatoes. She grew those tomatoes herself.
Saying, dog.
She grew those tomatoes herself. She took her life force, the one life we have to live, and she imbued it into the tomatoes into her garden. She plucked them for strangers. She lovingly cut them up. She laid them out because she wanted to be Christ-like and feed new people. And what did you do, Stassi Hicks? You said, who are you? What are you doing in my house? What did you do, Jake Hicks? You said, who's this strange lady? She's not a stranger. She brought an antipasto salad. That's a good person. What, are you afraid she's going to steal? She brought an antipasto salad that's worth more than anything else in your house. That's worth everything more in your house. I've seen every single one of your response videos. I've seen y'all desperately trying to do everything but fucking apologize. You got your mom involved? Your mom out of nowhere shows up, and your mom is 40. She's younger than me. Yo, y'all piss me the fuck off.
So now let's watch the response video of Stassi Hicks.
Oh, let's go.
I am not a mean person. My husband is not a mean person. We are not mean people. Neither is my mother-in-law. We simply did not know who this person was that come into our house unannounced to not a party. Let's clarify. This was not a party. This was a get-together of people who knew each other, okay? And just because we didn't know her doesn't mean that she couldn't have stayed and hung out. We just didn't want her in our house, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. So to you people that are getting on TikTok and all my social medias, first of all, or my husband or my mother-in-law, so forth, so on, and trying to bully us, I don't care. I really don't. Because you don't know the story. You weren't here. And for you to feel like you have to be behind the phone to bully somebody else that you don't even know about, that says a lot about you, not me. And one more thing. We did apologize. My husband did call her directly and apologize to her. And she didn't want to accept that answer. Okay. She didn't want to accept that we were sorry, that we hurt her feelings. She wanted to get on TikTok and use it to her advantage and try to make us look like bad people and then have half the world or so forth, so on, hate us too.
Wow. White people, man. White
the
people.
The tone is, yeah. It's that, like, I don't care. I'm not mad. I'm not owned.
Very Gen Z of her.
Yeah, I was very like, okay, what? It's like, it's not a party. It's a gathering of people who know each other. It's like that.
That's a party.
Was it
music
playing?
That's what, like, yeah. That's what you were saying, intimate gathering. I'm like, Elise doesn't know about the mind she's stepping on. Because that's the whole internet clowner of, like, it's not a party. It's just a gathering of people who know each other in outside and with music and food. And
like, yeah, it's like that's what a party is.
You just
have
a dictionary open. You're like,
no,
this is exactly what a fucking party is. What the hell are you talking about?
Like if it's less, if it's one that is smaller or whatever, like a smaller party, intimate gathering, whatever, even if that is the case, if someone walks in with someone you invited and they're holding a plate of food, just roll with it. Just be nice to them. It's not like they're a random stranger off the street who wandered in. Like, you can tell that they are here for the event that you're hosting.
Well, it's also just like their kids are friends.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. And it's sometimes I feel like I don't have kids, but I'm like pretty common. And a lot of my sister's friends are her daughter's friends' moms. Like, that's a normal thing. You don't know these people. Your kids are in the same class. They become friends. You show up to the thing because it's easier than having your son, dropping your son off and then picking him up. Let's yeah. all hang out. No, it's like crazy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, white people from Virginia. I'm not surprised about that and how that went down. And man, people from the South, they love to be dicks and then lean on Southern politeness when they want to.
Yeah.
It's a very toxic stew there. I have a question. The person that invited her.
Yeah.
What happened? Did she step up?
Okay.
Yeah.
So to continue,
okay.
Stassia, that woman, she clearly deleted the video, right?
Mm-hmm.
After the backlash.
A bit.
That was the video we watched was captured by another TikToker. Again, this was so big. There are like thousands of videos about it. It's crazy.
How about that?
So Jake, the husband, said he called Nicole directly to offer an apology. It wasn't accepted. In a follow-up video thanking people for their support, Nicole shares a text exchange with Samantha, the mom who invited her. So Samantha is Stassia's mom.
So Samantha is Stasia's mom and Samantha invited Nicole?
Yes, but Stasia... So Nicole shares a text exchange with Samantha, the mom who invited her, in which she apologized for her family's behavior. She also told Stasia and Jake she invited Nicole and texted them a photo of the antipasto salad. So
they knew?
Basically, yeah, that's what the whole thing was. Was basically,
mess.
Basically what was happening was her son is best friends with this kid. This kid's grandma, who's fucking 40, because whatever. She's like, hey, I'm inviting this kid's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming and she's bringing salad. She sent it in a text.
So she had actually told them ahead of time that she was inviting Nicole.
Wow. And then Nicole, these people are deeply evil.
Yeah.
When that gets revealed, you go, like,
you're
mean. You're not mean. There's something corrosive in your spirit.
Nicole, because what happens is, again, it doesn't just stop there. Again, this woman gets a bunch of followers. Everyone feels really bad for Nicole, which is really nice. But then all these people are asking for updates and it escalates and gets more and more. So Nicole posted a recording of her call with Jake, which is the husband of Stasia.
Hey, she tapped her phone.
She tapped the phone and he starts out the phone call saying he didn't know who she was or that she was coming. But eventually on the phone call, he admits he knew about her all along, but only expected the son to come. That's what he's saying. So Stasia,
you're gonna shit on the kid's mom? Is
yes.
that like, I was perfectly happy to, no, fuck this nigga.
Stasia then reported, I guess she posted, like, I guess to prove something, she posted footage of the gathering recorded by Ring camera, but then deleted it because we were like, this doesn't prove, like, anything that she's saying or does doesn't really disprove Nicole's story. Like, it actually just makes it stronger.
Absolutely.
So then Jake's mother also posted, again, Sam, posted a defensive TikTok noting in her video that the event was, quote, not a party, but, quote, a cookout for the neighbors.
That's a party.
This is the most synonymous, like, what words can we use besides?
So
it's like a game.
And just a really quick other layer. Well, I'll just wrap it up and then we can just think final thoughts, right?
Uh-huh.
So they said Nicole must have been misinformed, quote unquote. But obviously that woman has made her TikTok private because she's been getting a lot of things.
I'm sure she's getting some death threats too.
Another layer of this was a photo of the house was posted online and it was a double wide mobile home. Again, people on TikTok aren't saying that there's nothing wrong with living in a double wide mobile home. But people are like, if you're going to be this fucking annoying about, people were expecting a mansion.
Damn, as was really I. I thought it was a gated estate. I thought it had butlers.
No, it was
a fountain in the front.
It was a double wide mobile home. Which this is, you know, I'm just going to share it. I don't really believe that this is necessarily an indication, but some people are thinking that maybe it's because they're doing a lot of illegal activity in the house. So maybe they don't want people to know, like, it's kind of like, why?
Man, are you?
I'd hate to assume that. Yeah.
I think they're just like being assholes. I just got like such a negative energy off the Stasia. I think that they just, I don't know. I think that some people like to be mean and they could tell that someone had shown up who was like, maybe she was a little timid, maybe she gave off like a little bit of an anxious energy because again she's new,
smelled blood in the water.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I just got such mean girl vibes off Stasia that I think she was just like, oh, someone who seems insecure who I can kick out of my house and push around and be mean to and like use this weird little power over. I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. She's probably popular in high school or whatever. And like, you know, or whatever.
That's the energy
in Virginia.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And like definitely like, you know, was mean girl, whatever. Top dog settles down early, gets a husband, doesn't know what to do with her life. Ooh, who's the first person I can be mean to and get some of that old juju from high school?
Yeah, that's like the exact energy I got off of her. It was just that they saw someone who they perceived as weak and they thought they could like push them around and be mean to them because they derive some kind of joy out of that.
And no one's heard of her.
Didn't realize that like she would just like post on TikTok, like that it could, that like their behavior could, they could actually be held accountable to people outside of their little party of people who I guess are cool with being mean to someone for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just to wrap again, just to add two more details to wrap this up. It's funny that you say like, maybe she was like this. Stasia was like this because she thought she could get away with it, but it completely backfired because again, now Nicole has like almost 500,000 subscribers. And she was always posting like stuff about remedies and garden and all this shit. And now, like, she's getting a lot more love.
Getting deals, I'm sure.
So she has, again, continued to share updates. And she posted a highly requested tutorial for the antipasto
salad. Let's fucking go.
And she, again, layered.
I need her on Rachel Ray. I need her on the, like, let's go.
I know.
She adds pickled garlic scapes, peppers, and onions from her garden. Mm-hmm. Sprinkles some black pepper. Drizzles olive oil and, quote, a liberal amount of balsamic glaze for a sweet bite. So that's what she's posting. And then she also posted, this was another thing that came up, was the fucking sheriff came to her house. She posted the Ring camera footage. The sheriff came to the house. They're like, oh, your husband threatened our station. So they're suspecting that the Hicks, it might be somebody's cousin or something in the sheriff. So Tazia Hicks was, you know, used to being the head honcho in town. She was going to be mean to this new woman because she's connected to everybody. She goes on TikTok. TikTok all decides, like, hey, it's not nice to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's an etiquette thing that we're talking about with Gen Z. And Stasia probably can't handle that. Tried to post this whole thing of, like, we're not mean people. We just kick somebody out that we don't know because they're weird.
And we kick them out in, like, a really aggressive and nasty way that was just, like, uncalled.
Because she could have been like, it is weird to have somebody that you don't know be up in your house, like, sitting in your, you know, but be like, hey, everyone's hanging outside. Do you want me to bring
you outside?
It's
the 4th of July, man. That's the part I'm at where, like, every party I've been to has been a neighbor coming over or someone stopping by. Like, it's kind of like the beauty of that holiday is that everything's wide out and open and drinking and, like, you're supposed to have people come through. So now I'm thinking, was that's, there something that truly?
that's
a wild response.
And the double wide, that's why it's looking
also,
like...
Also, that double wide has never seen a pasta that beautiful in its life.
Exactly.
Ain't no fucking way.
That's why people are like, this pasta is worth more than the thing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know.
Yo, that's mean,
like,
but...
I don't know. Whatever. Don't know. But if you're going to be weird, people are going to clown you.
Dead ass.
Yeah. It's so interesting, I guess, like, that both topics are these, like, etiquette topics. Mm. And on the one hand, we've got this thing of, like, people don't owe you anything. But then, in practicality, we do see that, like, people rode hard for Nicole, and they were like, no, it's fucking mean.
Yes.
If someone shows up to your house with an antipasto salad for a gathering, even if you, like, can't quite place them or expect them, you can be basically nice to them in a real way. It's one thing if they showed up and were, like being weird and no one knew who they came with and they didn't have anything and, like, they were making people uncomfortable. Seems like this was just a nice woman who brought her son in a salad. Be nice.
Yeah, even if you didn't know her, you saw your son was talking to her. Like,
the kids, man. The kids get along. Why can't you try? I don't know. I don't get
it. Yeah, I mean, and to the point of, like, that's exactly what this woman was saying in that video that was, like, off-putting to you. But, like, it's the whole point of, like, you can do whatever you want. Like, obviously, Stasia Hicks, she's not going to go to jail for, like, not letting somebody in. It's her house. She could do whatever she wants.
But you can get a job on Fox, honestly.
Probably.
Maybe. She wishes, but people are going to clown her. And you know what I mean? And that's kind of what we're talking about, like, the perimeters of society.
Yeah.
So for the crime, Stasia, of not accepting a delicious antipasto salad, kicking someone out of your house for giving, like, then coming on the, like, doubling and tripling down on the internet and including Ring footage.
Yep.
Stasia Hicks. Go touch grass.
And Jake Hicks, too.
Yeah,
the husband, too.
Yeah. The husband can catch smoke, too.
And the sheriff.
And the sheriff. What are you doing?
The whole town.
The whole town.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of towns of troubled people, Christian, where can we find you? Where can we learn about anthology?
You did that shit. Find me on That Boy Banda on Instagram. I'm posting all about it, sharing stuff. Really trying to get some wind under the wings of this really special thing. So
yeah, and we will have links in the show notes to the GoFundMe. Or
it's a seed and spark.
It's a seed and spark.
Yes.
Sorry,
it's okay.
I feel like GoFundMe has gotten, like, the Band-Aid
now.
Treatment,
yes.
Where it's like, even or like Kleenex, where it's like no matter what the brand is, whatever. But anyway. Seed and Spark, the link will be in the show notes. Please, please, please check it out.
I want you to see it. Like, it's going to be dope. Like,
it's
going to
be a really cool project.
Yeah.
You guys can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on TikTok, and this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
And you can follow me at Millie_Chimeras on Instagram and TikTok. and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. And until next time,
go touch grass!
Go Touch Grass is created and hosted by Elise Morales and Millie Tamaris.
Recording and sound production by My Friend's Basement Studio. And our theme song is by Doug Weidick.